Friday. KC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 58, part two.
Part two, John. And part three, we got a very special guest coming
That's right.
But before we get to that, John.
We're going back to our roots with the openers.
What does the AKC stand for in Total Talk Nonsense?
A kangaroo court.
And what is that?
It's us.
It's a band.
It's a band. Because we're in a band.
We are a band. We have a gig. This Friday at Arlington Park, we're going to see that septic wannabe Stefan C.
30th, that's right.
And all you other podcast fans who want to come out. Is Airwolf coming out?
I don't know.
Is Lori making the trip?
Possibly.
Not only is there the gig, what happens is we play between races, so it's like 7 20-minute sets.
Yeah.
And then we finish up about 7 o'clock. We pack up pretty quickly. We get back to Rick's place, which you can walk to the park, Arlington Park, to Rick's house.
Right.
And then he always has the traditional barbecue at the house after that. And then we spend the rest of the night there. So whoever does show up will be invited to that very special gathering at Rick's house.
Rick's house.
For an all-American barbecue, John.
Did he say he was going to barbecue?
Yeah, he said that.
Pizza?
Pizza and barbecue. He said he's putting something together where he splits it open and he puts
a vagina,
some shit in there,
fried
and then
vagina.
He ties it back up and then
with
he puts
shit.
It on the barbecue.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, now, in part one, John, we had a TTN correction. Those things don't happen too often, do they?
No.
Because we vet all our information.
That's right.
Even though we are Total Talk Nonsense.
Well, that's the part that's nonsense, is
right.
Our opinion.
Right, is our opinion about shit.
But we read it as it's printed or reported in the news.
Just like to give another shout out to Eric Tabarro for pointing out our flaws.
From mediocre
in our facts. Now, the one other thing I want to say about Eric Tabarro is that is a kick-ass name, John.
Yeah.
Now, we go by John and Scott, and we don't want to give out our last names because of the NSA and because of the W and the regime and the police state.
It's like they couldn't find us.
They will not be able to find us. We are totally underground. But.
Yeah, but what about when we collect our war? Our award.
We'll send
from
Phil.
The podcast Peer
we'll
Awards.
Send Phil to collect the award. For you to see if they drag him off.
You know, we got nominated for Best Favorite Podcast.
Best Favorite.
By Paulie B and Punky, one of our favorites.
Well, thank you, Paulie B and Punky.
Gonna have to return the favor.
And yeah, nominate us, we'll nominate you, no doubt. Best Favorite. I don't understand the two.
Well, instead of having the best category, they had Favorite Podcast.
So it's the Favorite Podcast.
Yeah, because it crosses all genres. I mean,
the ultimate in podcasting.
Yeah. Well, it's who the favorite of all the podcasters. What's their favorite to listen to? So is best podcast would mean, okay, there's got to be some criteria. It might not be your favorite, but it's the best podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, so best shouldn't be there at all. It should just be
my favorite player is Charles Barkley, but who's the best basketball player? Michael Jordan. But he's not my favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay,
it's
see
a little
what
different.
You're saying. So the best, drop the best. It's just the favorite.
I don't know. I said it because I saw one of them that said best favorite.
All right, then. So that's another thing we have to remember is when we talk about TTN, we are now the nominated
TTN
podcast. Not just TTN podcast. We have the nominated TTN podcast.
Two nominations, Scott. And one thing I want to say is about one nomination, which is the best production, is I was reading some of the other best production nominations, and I checked out their shows. And a lot of them do post-production. They do a lot of editing,
right,
which we do not do.
Well, we do not do unless we are editing ourselves.
Right, our wives
for instance,
might not approve of something we say.
Three podcasts ago, I had to edit some discussion about the in-laws.
Yeah, we just drop it out.
So we just cut it.
Yeah.
Right.
But we don't do it in any post production.
Who has the time for post production, John?
Everything's on the fly. Loud. Like Punky's show, Barefoot Radio does their own live production. Who's that other guy? Mike D. What's his show?
Red Bone? No.
Red Balls?
Red Ball? No. Red Bullocks? Red. No. Red Bar.
Red Bar.
Red Bar
Red
Radio.
Red Bar Radio, yeah.
With the Mike D.
They don't do any post either.
Well, getting back to Eric Tomorrow and what a kick-ass name he has, we should come up with names like that. Fake names.
Okay, I'll be John Aria.
John Aria.
John Aria.
John Aria. Okay.
I do. I have a name when I'm in the band. It's Miles Long.
Right, but we're John and Scott, so we have to stick with the John and Scott concept.
Can't be Hugh and Miles?
It can't be. No.
Hugh and Jorgen. Miles.
Well, if we started 58 episodes ago with Hugh and Miles, maybe. But we're John and Scott, so maybe the forum, our fans can
come up with some last names.
Some good last names for John and Scott that we can adopt. Because I like the sound of that Eric Tomorrow. That's
Scott.
A lot of syllables, and it's first name, last name, Eric Tomorrow.
Scott Issue.
Paulie B.
How about Scott
Issue? Even though it's just B, it's Paulie B.
Right. Scotters. What about Scott Issue? Scott Tissue.
That's funny. I haven't heard that one since first grade.
Are you serious? Somebody called you Scott Tissue?
In first grade,
hey,
yeah.
Scott Tissue. Are you serious? Come on.
I'm totally serious. I was abused mercifully.
With the Scott Issue?
Scott Issue. All right, then. A couple of podcasts ago, we had two very special guests. We had Erica and the Papucha.
Right.
Now, the Papucha, we've known the Papucha. I've known him since 1980. So that's 26 years. Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you known the Papucha?
Not quite as long. I've known him just a couple of years.
Just a couple. Come on.
Yeah, like,
we were in New York 10
years
ago.
How many years did you know him?
Since 1980. I have known of the Papucha.
I've known of the Papucha since maybe 89 or 87 or something.
89, 87.
Yeah.
All right. So we've known the Papucha for quite a while. And the Pooch.
Scotters, I was on the same swim team as you.
It's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, the Papucha, even though he does crease his jeans and pleat them or whatever
you
want to say.
He is a fucking nut job.
And he gets a lot of facts wrong. And in some cases, you could make a case that he's an idiot. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to make the case that the Papucha not only is an idiot, but he's also brilliant. He's brilliant and a genius.
Idiot savant.
An idiot savant is what we call it, John. Now, I brought in a bunch of clips, and I clipped these out like a week ago, so I have no idea what these clips are. But the first four clips are going to show his idiocy, and the last two clips are going to show his brilliance. So whenever you're ready,
all right,
go ahead and play clip one.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
Poopy equals stinky. Yes, another month, another opportunity to vote for you bastards. I love you. No, really. I love you. I want to marry you both in Massachusetts. What the quadriplegic get for Christmas? Cancer. Peace.
That for me.
Metallary 85.
So Papucha was reading a comment, and that's the reason I think we need to take back reading comments, because that was the worst read ever.
Well, we figured that people could read them better than us.
Right, but that's not the case.
Can't fucking read either.
I thought Zach did a good job, Special Ed always does a good job, but I don't know what was going on with the Papucha there. He screwed up the name. Mattelleary.
Mattelleary.
It clearly says Mattelleary.
Mattelleary.
So, all right. There's case one of the Papuchas idiocy. Case two coming up.
Here we go.
That doesn't hold true because if a monk fucked up one, what does that do to the Gregorian type calendar that fits this too by 2 weeks?
Say Gregorian again.
Gregorian.
Next story.
Gregorian.
Gregorian.
Candy cane. Gregorian.
And there the Papuch is showing his versatility with language, saying Gregorian. And then getting into a New York kind of two weeks kind of thing.
Silver bite air.
And the Gregorian. all right, I'm all ready right. for the next clip.
Okay.
Where do you stand on that, Papuch? You a creationism or an evolutionary kind of guy?
I am an evolutionary.
Oh, my God. I did have another drink.
Hello.
Hey.
It stinks. Yo, Adrian.
That'll be on the Papuchi soundboard.
Let's hear that again.
Where do you stand on that, Papuch? You a creationism or an evolutionary kind of guy?
I am an evolutionary. Oh, my God.
I did have another drink.
Hello.
Hey. It stinks.
Yo, Adrian.
Evolutionary guy.
Kind of guy. All right. So, one more clip to prove to the fans that the Papuch, has an idiot gene component.
Gosh, shut up! If you're going to live by the sword, die by the sword.
Bitch.
If you've got balls, live with them and use them. Don't dick around. Don't, oh, I'm sorry.
Use your balls. Don't dick around.
Yeah, who painted that self-portrait of you?
Why didn't you go all night? What? If you got balls, don't dig around.
And it was hard pulling out clips to try to prove his idiocy, but I made an attempt. But the thing that John and I, because we have a relationship with the Papuch, we have several anecdotes about the Papuch's lunacy. But now we're going to get into the brilliance of the Papuch. We covered the idiot part. Now we're going to cover the savant, the brilliance of the Papuch. Now, both of these clips, the brilliance of the Papuch, I'm going to claim a lot of credit here because I am his muse.
You're his muse.
If it weren't for me, maybe he wouldn't be brilliant. Maybe I inspire him.
You inspire brilliance.
Brilliance.
Another trait of the Machiavellian Scott.
Because one thing, he dressed up like me on Halloween. That was brilliant.
That
brilliant.
Was goddamn funny.
But if it wasn't for me, who would he dress up as? And he wouldn't be brilliant. So I am the reason for his brilliance, and we will hear it in these next two clips. Go ahead and play clip number 5.
Why didn't you go all night? What happened?
I don't know. I get tired, you know. I need naps.
Oh,
need
you got that hemoglobin.
That was probably the day that I borrowed the Papuch's rollerblades and went across the Brooklyn Bridge.
That's right.
Which is made of wooden planks.
Let me ask you a question, because you rip on me about this every time. Can you rollerblade? Yes. Did I say it was smart? No. You didn't ask the right question.
See that?
Yeah.
Fucking with me.
That's
Papuch,
right.
Fucking with me.
He stepped up his game, man.
Stepped up his
game. He stepped it up on you.
Stepped it up. And who was the sad sack?
Yeah, shortly thereafter, he almost ripped his fucking door off of his brand new car.
Well, that's getting back to the idiot part. we already closed the chapter on the idiot. Now we're on
sorry.
The brilliant part, okay?
It was just days later.
Not even. All right, so I said, hey, I want a rollerblade. Where can I go? He gave me some rollerblades. He said, the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge is all planks. So it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's 2 miles long or something ridiculous like that. So, yeah, he got me there.
Your balls.
My balls. All right, now this last clip is his true brilliance here. Now, what happens in this clip is
brilliance.
Is he opens himself up for some criticism, which we heap on him in generous amounts. But does he fold? No, he does not fold.
He turns it.
He turns it, and he comes right back. And it's I gotta tell you, John, it's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard out of the Papooch's mouth, and we're gonna hear it right now.
Here we go.
They have an espresso machine, and I'm the pussy John.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
Wait. He has an espresso. Espresso makes me a pussy.
No, there's other things that make you a pussy, but that just adds to it.
Like the hair between your legs and that slit.
And the vagina, you mean, John? The vagina?
There are ladies present.
And the vulva.
The vulva.
It's okay. Scott's heard this before.
The vulva.
That's a good one, Tony. You see how long it took me to get it? I was shocked.
Yeah, you were shocked at his brilliance.
At the comeback.
Because it came out of nowhere.
That's okay,
Scott. And it cracks you in the side of the head.
It was brilliant. Brilliant.
Stunningly brilliant, John, from the Papooch.
But do you remember the fucking door incident?
Yeah.
That has to be the most fucking funniest thing I've ever, ever been witness to in my life. After riding them all day, we went to the, what the hell is that thing called?
I don't know, but you got to start out the story by saying Papooch has a car in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Nobody that lives in Manhattan has a car.
And I know we've told this story before,
nobody.
But it's just such a great story.
But the Papooch, he's got a car.
Nobody has a car. I mean, there's a lot of cars in there in New York, but they don't belong there.
They don't live in Manhattan.
They're outside of Manhattan, driving in and out of the island. And the Papooch has a fucking car. He has a Nissan Maxima, or he did at the time, and it's brand fucking new. As a matter of fact, more than your salary.
At the time.
And we're riding him all day. We went to NBC Towers or something at the Rockefeller Center. You remember?
I remember.
We walked around in there, and then we had something to eat at TGI Fridays, and then he was taking us to the airport. And we were giving him shit through the whole thing. And I get in the front seat next to him. You get in the back seat right behind me. And Joe, from our first podcast, gets in the back seat. Yeah, last, behind Tony, the Papooch. And the Papooch starts backing up. And Joe doesn't have the door closed yet. And the door catches on a giant pillar in the parking garage.
It was funny, man.
Bends it perfectly straight. I mean.
And then the brother comes over and he shuts it. Oh, man, it's okay, aside, man. It's
man, all right.
See?
And he's slapping as hard as he can. Finally, it catches.
Oh, see, there you go. Aside. No problem, man. It's all right.
We're trying. The funniest part, though, is we're driving down the highway to the airport, and you're in the back seat laughing your fucking ass off as quiet as you can, doing the what the fuck?
Yeah.
And it's dead silent in the car, except for you going,
why weren't you laughing? That was the funniest goddamn thing ever.
I know it was, but I was just...
How could you hold it in?
I felt bad. And then I finally broke the ice and said something about him doing a Tommy Boy on his car. And then he started cracking up and blah, 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 and everything was okay. And we got to a gas station or the airport or something, and we got out and looked at it. It was fucked up.
It was totally fucked up.
The window, there's no way to close the window on the thing again because it was just totally bent. The frame, the window frame on the back door was bent out. Oh, it was fucked up. It was the funniest goddamn thing. I'll never forget that. And that was like the last time we saw the Twin Towers, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we went up on the Twin Towers. And the cool thing about that is instead of being on the top floor, they put you on the roof.
The roof!
And you have to walk around to get back down.
Right.
And some guy freaked out because it was too high.
I got that on video, man.
Do you?
Yeah.
We should post that.
I get the video on you, and I'm, you know, because you're a man of so many words.
So many, yes.
I mean, here, you talk like crazy. Anybody saw that video, they'd be like, that's not Scott.
No way.
That guy fucking never talks. And I got the camera on you, and I'm saying some shit. And in the background, you see the guy holding on to the bars. Oh, my God.
And he starts crawling like he's in the army.
Yeah. That's not nice.
What?
Guy's got what, acrophobia, or what is it called?
Whatever.
Hydra?
But the escalator's still pushing people out onto this thing, and it's expected that everybody's just walking around and getting on the down escalator, but this guy starts crawling, and everybody's getting jammed up because nobody's going anywhere, and he's freaking out.
Well, you know, we went to the in-laws, my wife's brother. They get him and his life partner have a pad out in downtown Chicago, right on Lakeshore Drive. And you can go on the roof and just hang out up there, and you could see Navy Pier from there perfectly. And I go up there, we're up there for some birthday party or something. And my wife's cousin Dan, he wouldn't leave the wall. There's like a wall after you come right out onto it, you know, there's a door. And there's a good like 20 feet before you get to the railing you can't even look over the edge really, because the railing is in about 3 or 4 feet from the actual ledge of the building. And there's another retaining wall there. So you can't actually, you'd have to like jump the thing or something. And he wouldn't even go that like a foot off the wall. He had to have his back touching the wall. I go, come on, man. Just look, sit on this lawn furniture, right? No, man, I'm cool. It's cool, man. It's cool. He wouldn't even look, like when we went back into the building and went down the stairs, he wouldn't look over the railing. Because you could look over the railing and look straight down the stairwell. He's like, no, it's cool, man. It's cool.
It's cool. It's cool, man. I'm cool. I'm totally cool.
But I forgot to tell you, we're going to the opening ceremony of the gay games.
Well, they had the gay pride parade today.
Yes.
I thought that's maybe where you were. Because
no.
I called and
no,
I got your machine.
I wasn't there.
And you didn't call me back until like 6. I thought you were down there on a gay float or something.
No. Unfortunately, I never made it down there. But yeah, we went out to breakfast, me and the wife, and then we went over to Apt. You ever go to Apt?
I love Apt. That's where we got all our appliances, John.
Yeah.
All of
them. Holy shit. That new Wolf and Sub-Zero and Viking room they got.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Did you see the floor there?
I did.
How it looks like stars and shit?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, the light reflects off of the floor is like, it's not a marble, but it's some sort of a ceramic black tile. And then it's got little, it looks really deep looking, very glossy. And then it's got little flecks of silver or something. They're like glitter. And the pin spots from the halogens above reflect off of these little glitter things. And it looks like stars.
Whoa.
It's fucking kick ass. And then they had, we were checking out some of the Viking ranges and Wolf and all that shit. I kind of like the Thermidor.
Thermidor.
Digging the Thermidor.
Right.
Yeah, so we checked that out. Checked out some of the Growy on display. And they
Growy.
Don't have it displayed right, so I'm a little pissed off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we went through there. Because I had to get a dehumidifier for down here, but they're on back order. But
what are you going to do?
Yeah, right. But that is the coolest fucking place. Anybody that comes to this area, they got to check out Abt Electronics.
Abt.
ABT. Right. Check it out online.
Well, they have a web presence, too.
Yeah.
That shows you all the shit they have.
On but, the store is just
the showroom is phenomenal.
Cool.
Yes, no doubt. And the aquarium.
Yeah, and the giant fountain. And, holy fuck. They're building a whole new wing onto the home theater section. Did you see they moved that in the back of the north end of the building?
No.
Oh,
no.
Dude. Holy fuck.
Dude.
Well, you know, I got the theater seats down here that you're sitting in.
Uh-huh.
They have the kind of similar stuff, but their recliners are powered.
Powered.
You hit a button and what the fuck is it like to have that kind of money, man?
Who needs that? I don't need that.
No, but still, it's just cool. But it was goddamn cool. But anyways, so we did that, and then we went and we had breakfast. We did that, and then we went to see a movie. And what else happened? But anyways, we're going to the opening ceremonies at Soldier Field for the gay games.
When is that?
July 15th, the day that Paulie B leaves for Florida, I believe he's going to.
Nice.
Yeah. We could probably do a podcast here on the first night that he's here. That
All
Thursday.
Right. Maybe like a 40-minute thing?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll cut this out in post, so Why? It's a surprise to our fans.
Why? It's all over the internet.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway.
All right, then.
So, yeah. That's,
what movie did you see?
Today I saw The Breakup.
That was today? You went to ABT?
Yeah.
And saw The Breakup?
The Breakup.
With Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston, John Favreau, he was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, even, what's her name was in that goddamn movie?
What is her name?
She's on our top 10. We both have her.
We both have her in our top 10.
What the fuck? Bye-bye Birdie. Ann Margaret's in it.
Nice.
Plays Aniston's mom. Yeah. That movie was a fucking disturbing movie, man.
Which one?
The Breakup.
Oh.
They dub it as like this comedy, and it looks like it's going to be funny as shit, but god damn it, I was stressed out through this whole fucking movie.
Stressed out about what?
Holy shit. Well, they opened the movie with "You're My Best Friend," you know, that Queen tune.
Queen.
And they're showing like all these photographs of them, snapshots of them together, and they look like a great couple. I mean, they show them like in a setting all over Chicago, and they show them actually, the whole movie opens up with him at a Cubs game with John Favreau, and he's wearing a Cubs shirt, and Favreau's wearing a Sox jersey, and Aniston's with some preppy dude with the collar up and shit.
That was me.
Yeah. But Vaughn does the go for broke thing. He orders like 6 hot dogs, and then he gives one to Aniston, and he makes her basically take it. You gotta have it, gotta have it. Here's some toppings. Here, you get blah, blah, blah. You know, have it. Oh, enjoy it. Enjoy it. And he works at that when everybody gets up to leave, he like lets the boyfriend get past him, and then he jumps in front of Aniston and he does the go for broke speech on her to try and get her to go out with
him. The go for broke from the Ghostbusters?
From you.
Not from me.
The Scott go for broke.
I'm going to go for broke.
I'm going to go for broke here.
I am madly in love with you. Is that what he says?
No, but he does. It's like that thing, you know, like, you know, when you start your line, your rant.
Right.
To hook up with a chick.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, man, you took a fucking giant soccer ball off your head.
Right. Yeah, we heard that.
But he does that thing, and then they bust into the opening credits. You're my best friend with the Queen tune, and they're showing all these snapshots. So they look like a great couple. They're on a bowling team. They're all this and that. And they have this fucking kick-ass condo downtown Chicago. Really nice. And he is, ladies and gentlemen, he's one of those fucking tour bus announcers.
Oh, is he?
He owns it with his two brothers. And Aniston works at a really posh art gallery. And she's an artist, you know, went to college for it.
Right.
And they just, they just start falling apart right away in the movie, where he comes home and he wants to do his own thing and lay around, and she's been working and she cooked a nice dinner for the parents to meet each other and all this stuff. And it starts off where he brings home 3 lemons instead of 12 because she wanted to do a 12-lemon centerpiece. And he says, well, just take a glass and put 3 lemons and put it in the middle, you know? What the fuck? What's the big deal? And she gets all pissed off because he doesn't, you know, care enough about doing, you know, setting the table, doing, you know, setting up the dinner, helping her out. And they have a kind of a brawl during dinner, and then after dinner, he doesn't want to do the dishes, and he says, I'll do them later. And she says, no, I want you to help me with them now. Fine, I'll do them. No, I don't want you to do them, she says.
Hey, man, is this a review, or are you just doing the movie right now?
Well, I'm setting up the TTN movie. I'm just setting up this how it goes from, you think it's going to be this really funny, warm, fuzzy movie, and it turns out to be like War of the Roses.
It's a dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
Black,
and I mean,
I think they call it.
Their brawls are like reminiscent of, I don't know about you, but with my wife and I, in the early days of our relationship, I was like seeing me and seeing her in those fucking brawls. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, man.
I mean, you talk about, you know, the wife has whipped a full fucking giant tub of sour cream at the wall, and I smashed a couple of cordless phones and remotes on the floor or the wall, and it was like that, man. But there were some really funny-ass parts in the movie, but that was like fucking holy shit. That it totally took me off guard, the movie. And they go through this whole thing. It kind of turns out, you know, Vince Vaughn is kind of an asshole, but she's no saint either. She, like, sets up some shit where she's trying to get him back, and they're just, it's just trying to one-upmanship through the whole thing. And I can't tell you the ending. It'll spoil it. But they had to redo the ending because it didn't go over well with big fans of Jennifer Aniston.
What was the original ending?
They don't say the original ending. I guess it'll be on the DVD. I think they just cut it short, right? I can't say what happens because it'll ruin it. Because it's a pretty new movie. But the old 97s are in it.
The old 97s.
We play some old 97s.
We do.
Rhett Miller. Isn't Raging Eyes the tune we play?
No, that's Nick Lowe. Old 97s is, it'll come to me. Anyway.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, Normans. How many Spiny Normans?
What do we have? 5?
4.
4.
Our scale is 4.
I give it a 3.
3 Spiny Normans.
Yeah, I really liked it, man. I mean, I was sweating. And I sweat a lot, okay? That's no doubt. But it was freezing cold in that theater, and I was sweating.
Why?
Because I was tense. That movie was fucking tense when they got into, like, some real big brawls during a Pictionary game. And she drew a fucking, she was trying to draw a sock and trying to get him to say sock. And he kept saying shoo, shoo, shoo. And he flips out. What kind of fucking art student are you, man? What the hell is that? A fucking kid with crayons can draw better than that. I mean, he just blasts her in front of all their friends.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit.
She looking good? Looking hot?
Yeah. Yeah, you could see her ass in it.
Yeah?
There's a scene where she asks her... She asks her boss at the art gallery, what should I do? I'm having this problem. And you know, I think I made a mistake. I broke up with my boyfriend, but we live in the condo. And the whole thing is about the condo. They don't want to sell it. And so they kind of split it in half. She takes the bedroom. He takes the living room. And they play all these games against each other. And one of them was that the owner of the art gallery tells her, well, to get back at him and to get him to, like, look at you again and appreciate you, I want you to go down to my, this girl I know at the spa, she does wax jobs, and tell her you want the Telly Savalas, which is it's like the full-on Brazilian wax, right?
Nice.
And they just show the one scene of Jennifer going, and, ah! And her like ankle goes up in the air. So you know what they're hitting right there.
Right.
So she goes home and takes a hot shower and gets all lathered up and cleaned up and decides to walk to the refrigerator in the buff to grab a nice Diet Pepsi.
Nice.
And they do the camera angle really good. She, you see her all back except her ass to the fridge, but you see Vince Vaughn's eyeballs just like, whoa. And then you see her walk back, and as she's walking back, they run the camera so that Vince Vaughn's head is right at her midsection, and then you see her ass walk away, just walk out of the camera's blur area, you know, so it's like clear for a second, the split second, then it blurs out.
Mm-hmm. Was it her ass? Good. Her ass?
Oh,
double.
Yeah, it was her ass.
Her ass?
Yeah.
Okay.
No doubt.
No doubt.
But she's got one of those bony, spiny backs, man.
And I don't like the bony, spiny back.
Yeah, that
reminds me of Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
What? Reminds me of the movie Predator.
Oh, okay.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he would pull the spines out of all of those guys.
Oh, right. But the wife and I really dug it. I thought it was good.
Dug it. Dig it.
Totally took me off guard, though. Totally.
Totally.
I mean, for a Vince Vaughn movie, you know, he did a lot of that banter and stuff, but it was pretty depressing, man. Yeah.
Even at the end? Still depressing? Or was there a happy ending?
It was
Hollywood
sort of.
Happy ending?
It was kind of, I don't know. Yeah. It was kind of happy.
Yeah.
Kinda.
All right,
happy.
Then. Yeah. Any other movies that you want to talk about?
Well, I saw The Ringer.
The Ringer?
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville. Oh, my God.
Now, I haven't seen it, but he pretends to be mental so he can win the Special Olympics.
It's so wrong, man. It's on DVD. And he goes... What happens is he's in this job and he's kind of like got low self-esteem, and he's always trying to, you know, he listens to self-help tapes and stuff and gets his shit together. And he goes to his boss and he says, I want more responsibility. I know I could do more work. Well, what do you want to do exactly? I don't know. I just want more responsibility. So the first job they give him is to fire the janitor. And he goes to fire the janitor, and he likes the janitor and their buddies, and something happens and he can't fire him, and he ends up like giving him a job cutting his own grass or something. And the janitor cuts his fingers off, and he needs to get money to get the janitor's fingers back on so he can work again. So he calls his uncle, and his uncle owes money to like the, what do you call it? The mob. And the uncle comes up with this idea to have him be in the Special Olympics as a ringer to win the Special Olympics.
And he's they'll bet on him?
Yeah, they'll bet on him, and he's got to pretend to be retarded. He's Jeffy. It's fucking funny, but it's just wrong. And right away from the get-go, the retards know that he's
not.
They don't know at first, but because he's new, they give him a lot of shit, you know? And the retarded kids really got their shit together for this whole thing. And then he fucks up while they're fucking with him at lunch. He turns into his normal voice and says, hey, my name's Jeffy. He goes bad on one of them because he wants the ketchup, and one of them plays a joke on him. Just give me the ketchup. Hey, man. Or more like, hey, man, you weren't talking. You talk different. You talk different right there. You talk different. And then they all out him. So they corner him in the bedroom, and they go off on him about faking the whole retard thing. And he comes back and says, okay, this is why I did it. So he's about to leave, and they go, well, hold on a second. We want you to stay here because there's this asshole that always comes here, this black kid who is unbelievable at the Special Olympics, and he wins every year. And he's got endorsements from Nike. He comes in a limo every year. You know, he's got his own handlers and stuff. And they're tired of it, this kid winning all the time. So they want Knoxville to stay. So they start training him to win the race and the javelin throw and all this shit. And it's pretty funny. And then finally it all breaks down on him, and then it gets really ugly.
Is there a chick in there?
Yeah.
She hot?
Yeah. What's her name? Catherine Hagel?
I never heard of her.
She's okay. She's blonde. She's pretty hot.
So how many Spiny Normans?
Two and a half.
Two and a half?
Yeah. It wasn't that great.
Wasn't as good as the breakup?
No.
Nice.
No, because it was it was great, though, because, like, you know, he ends up befriending all these guys, you know, because they're all pretty cool. They all got chicks. They all, you know, one of them wants to be with a chick. You know, they got all the same shit going on. And they fuck with each other the same way as anybody screws around with each other. And, you know, it's pretty good. So I liked it. I liked it.
All right, then. How much time we got left here?
No time. It's 41. None? We're at 41.
Oh, come on. I got one celebrity story. I need to get
to. Did I take up too much time, or the papooch take up too much time?
Probably the papooch, that idiot savant.
But I got another movie.
You got another movie?
Yeah.
Who cares about that movie? Nobody cares about that one. Nobody's going to even see that.
Who is your daddy?
All right.
You got roped into that movie. You said it yourself. You got roped in. You didn't want to go, and you went. The only thing I'm pissed about is you didn't call me.
Hey, dude. It was last minute. It was planned by the wife.
I'm Mr. Last Minute.
I was already in the car.
Oh, you didn't want me to be the fifth wheel.
All the way out to Barrington.
Barrington 9. Yes. Or the 12 or whatever.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my only celebrity story here is Star Wars character voted most irritating ever.
You're naughty.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Jar Jar Binks?
Star Wars, the Phantom Menace alien Jar Jar Binks was voted the most annoying film character of all time.
I got it.
In a poll of 5,000 movie fans by UK website lovefilm.com, the computer-generated Binks beat-out competition from Andy McDowell's character Carrie in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Wow. Third most irritating is Rowan Atkinson's Bean, followed in fourth place by Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura.
No.
In fifth place, Ben Stiller's White Goodman in Dodgeball.
Wow. All
right, stop whining. So,
I think Jar Jar Binks, yeah, that definitely irritating. The other ones, I don't see it. I don't get it. I can find more irritating characters in movie history, and I'm giving to you right now. Yeah. All right, John?
Yeah.
My number six, I have six of them. I couldn't even compile it. I couldn't even make it five. I had to make it six. My number six, Chris Rock, in just about fucking anything.
Come on. He's
the most
great.
Irritating Chris Rock performance, though, Nurse Betty. Check that out. To see Chris Rock at his fucking most
irritating.
Annoying. Number five, Jim Belushi in pretty much anything. I cannot stand Jim Belushi.
What?
The principal comes to mind. And what else? Oh, in Trading Places. He was annoying as hell.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like him.
Number four.
I can't believe that's bullshit.
Billy Crystal.
That's you, man. There's nobody else, I bet, that it would say the same thing about Jim Belushi.
Yes.
No way.
Yes, there is.
No,
yes.
It's just fucking you.
No.
Yeah.
He's annoying and irritating. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Number four, Billy Crystal in pretty much anything, but especially...
Oh, you're full of shit.
...in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, come on. No way.
First of all, and it's not... I really don't blame Billy Crystal for this. Because there's no way in the fucking world Meg Ryan would spend a minute with Billy Crystal.
How do you know?
Okay, so they work with the script and they have to go along with it. But then when you discover how fucking irritating Billy Crystal is, that's even more reason why Meg Ryan would not spend time with him. Number three, I don't know this guy's name, but he was in the original Batman with Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
He was the Vicky Vale's colleague. I don't even know his name. He played Arliss.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking
about. That guy fucking ruined Batman, in my opinion.
He was in one of the greatest movies of all time.
What is that?
Hollywood Nights.
Never saw it.
He's the one that did the joke, what do you call a man with five, or wait.
Hollywood Nights, what is that?
It's like a 50s kind of movie. The 50s are going away. It's turned into the 60s. One of their pals is going away to Vietnam. It's all around, staged around this high school and one of those old drive-in eateries, you know, where the chicks roller skate around. It's kind of like a Porky's kind of thing. And he plays the main character, and
he's horrible.
He's great in that movie.
He's horrible in every movie.
He's going to bang this chick, and he's in the front seat trying to get his pants off, and he blows his load before he can get his pants off.
Enough said, John.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Number two most irritating person on film.
Scott.
Adam
from
Sandler.
TTN.
Is Billy Madison.
Oh.
That was horrible. Horrible. Adam Sandler is Billy Madison. Number one, the chick from Chasing Amy.
No way.
Way.
You know what? She's in The Breakup.
She is?
Yeah.
Is she as annoying as she is in Chasing Amy?
No, she's just a friend and married. And there's the parts in the movie are pretty funny because all the married. Oh, you know who else is in it? You remember the movie A Christmas Story?
Christmas, yes.
Ralphie?
Yes. Ralphie?
Ralphie?
Yeah. Check it out.
PC froze up.
Oh.
Ralphie's in the movie. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
So there you have my top six lamest characters. Now, John, I challenge you for next podcast to come up with your top five coolest movie characters of all time.
Okay.
Are you willing to accept the challenge?
Sure.
So in episode 59, John and Scott will have their top five coolest characters in movie cinema history.
Right.
Right.
All right. That's it. All we have for part two. We're going to have to take it to part three.
Nice.
All right. That was part two. Now stay tuned for... Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.